Southwest Alaska is home to some of the largest moose on Earth, something I've mentioned a time or two on this show, and one of the ways to know that is to take a look at the size of some of the antlers from bulls harvested in our area. I have several friends who have scored on bulls with antlers in excess of 60 inches, and some were even pushing 70. Every year, word gets out that a few at and over that mark are taken, and I've seen a few firsthand belonging to other people that were legitimately in the 70s. Those are really big moose by anyone's standards. And yet, bigger antlers have been found. What would you say if I told you about an animal with antlers that were double the size of a large moose? One in which antlers spanning 10 to 12 feet was common. Man, for some of us, antlers like that would require a major addition to the house, as well as reinforcements to the wall to support hanging them. Believe it or not, antlers of that size are not some product of hunting imagination. There was an animal once, the Irish elk or giant deer, that walked the earth in many parts of Europe and Asia. Perhaps in saying that, you'll notice that I'm speaking in past tense. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Yes, the Irish elk is no more. Having gone the way of the dodo possibly as long as nearly 8,000 years ago, though many remains have been found through the years, including those magnificent antlers. And in mentioning the dodo in that way, well, there's another species that is no more. Which brings us to the subject of today's episode. Next Friday is Endangered Species Day, recognized the third Friday of each May. Endangered Species Day is a day set aside to celebrate our planet's biodiversity and our efforts to conserve that diversity. As our country's leading agency charged with conserving our wildlife resources, it's a day that's important to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in that it gives us a platform from which to highlight species that are struggling and to share about efforts that are being made to turn things around for those species. You don't have to go back to the dinosaurs or even the Irish elk to see and understand that many species come under fire for various reasons, and some of them succumb, their numbers gone from the earth for good. One oft-quoted more recent example would be the passenger pigeon, a 3/4-pound dove-like bird that was once so numerous that flocks literally darkened the skies. In fact, one flock, in 1866 in southern Canada, was described as being over a mile wide and 300 miles long. The flock took 14 hours to pass and was estimated to have over 3.5 billion birds. Despite that, and other instances like it, the last passenger pigeon died on September 1, 1914, at the Cincinnati Zoo. So what led to such an incredible decline and subsequent extinction? The passenger pigeon lost out in large part to deforestation and commercial hunting, with most of the decline happening in but a 30-year time span at the end of the 19th century. Other species of more recent vintage have either become extinct or struggled mightily, leading to legal efforts to stem that tide. In taking the time to recognize Endangered Species Day, perhaps I should backtrack just a bit on the timeline concerning endangered species and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Let's go back to 1966. In that year, Congress passed the Endangered Species Preservation Act, which provided the government with a way to list native animal species as endangered and give those species some limited protection. The Departments of Interior, Agriculture, and Defense were tasked with protecting any listed species and to preserve the habitat of such species. The Act also gave the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service the authority to acquire land as habitat for endangered species. In 1969, Congress amended that Act to provide additional protection to species in danger of worldwide extinction by prohibiting their importation and subsequent sale within the United States. Also, an amendment to the Act provided for a change of names to the Endangered Species Conservation Act. These were steps in the right direction, but it wasn't finished yet. In 1973, then-President Richard Nixon felt strongly that existing species conservation efforts were inadequate, and he called on Congress to pass stronger, more comprehensive endangered species legislation. Congress responded with the Endangered Species Act of 1973. Under this act, species may be listed as either endangered or threatened. Endangered means a species is in danger of extinction throughout all or a significant portion of its range. Threatened means a species is likely to become endangered within the foreseeable future, barring changes to prevent it. All species of plants and animals are eligible for listing as endangered or threatened, except for pest insects. For the purposes of this act, species is defined to include subspecies, varieties, and, for vertebrates, distinct population segments. The act was written by a team of lawyers and scientists. It incorporated dozens of new principles and completely changed the direction of environmental conservation in the United States. It recognizes that our rich natural heritage is of aesthetic, ecological, educational, recreational, and scientific value to our nation and its people. It further expresses concern that many of our nation's native plants and animals can face the very real danger of becoming extinct. The stated purpose of the Endangered Species Act is simple enough. It was created to protect species and the ecosystems upon which they depend. Others have stated its purpose a bit more forcefully. For example, noted California historian Kevin Starr was quoted as saying, "The Endangered Species Act is the Magna Carta of the environmental movement." The act is administered by two agencies, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Commerce Department's National Marine Fisheries Service. The Fish and Wildlife Service is on the hook for primary responsibility of terrestrial and freshwater organisms. The National Marine Fisheries Service oversees marine species, such as whales, and anadromous fish, such as salmon. The ultimate goal of the Act is to recover species so they no longer need protection under the Endangered Species Act. Recovery plans are created which put forth the steps needed to restore a particular species to ecological health. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologists write and implement these plans with the assistance of species experts and input from other federal, state, and local agencies and stakeholders. With a bit of luck and effort, we wind up with species like the peregrine falcon, which went from the brink of extinction in the early 1970s to delisted in 1999. On many refuges across the nation this year, special events will be held that focus on Endangered Species Day, whereas this year is the 40th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act. While we don't have anything specific planned for here at Togiak Refuge, the importance of the day and the act and purpose it recognizes seemed like a good idea for a Field Notes episode. In closing today, I'd like to mention that currently we don't have any species on Togiak Refuge that are listed as endangered. We do have two sea duck species, the spectacled eider and Steller's eider, that carry a label of threatened. So for those participating in the spring-summer subsistence waterfowl season, it's something to be aware of. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.